Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Okay, it's Kevin Adams press conference day. It is Kevin Adams and Jerry Fortin. They are going to meet with the media at 11 a.m. The pre-draft press conference. I look at things from a prism of the way a football team operates, obviously, right? Now, obviously, I've done this long enough. I understand how hockey teams and other teams operate, but, you know, especially the Sabres and hockey and how they do things. But, you know, I cover the Bills on a daily basis as a beat reporter, so I'm very, very in tune and understanding of how they kind of set up their operation. And especially when you have a regime that's been around quite a while, like Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott. It used to be with other regimes, they would have a pre-draft press conference. This is the Bills now I'm talking about. They'd have a pre-draft press conference and they'd literally put a bunch of scouts up and that you would talk and you could direct a question towards a regional scout or a director of personnel. And they would answer questions. And then, you know, the GM would be there and Doug Whaley and Jim Monas would be up there. I guess Buddy Nix. Some great quotes from Buddy Nix over the years, by the way. Then, after Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean took over, it was more like, hey, we're going to do it, but it's just us. And that's kind of the way it's been. And now, because of the way the NFL calendar works, after the new CBA started back in, 2020? Really 2011, then again in 2020 when they resigned, and how the OTAs work and the offseason program works, kind of comes in conjunction with the start of the offseason program is kind of like draft week or the week before draft week. So it really fits for Sean to talk to the media, Sean McDermott, and then Brandon Bean to talk to the media, and then we get all the draft stuff. And then you also have the combine. And you also have the owners' meetings. And all that leads up to it. Hockey is similar in a lot of ways, but it's also different in a lot of ways. One of the ways that hockey is very different than football is free agency is after the draft. In football, it's the draft, and it's free agency and then the draft. And it's a month apart, really a month and a half apart. Free agency in football in middle of March. And you kind of go and you know where you're picking in the draft, but you fill everything you need to fill during free agency, and then you go and you draft. And really, it is a different draft. It's a prospects draft, right? Hockey's a prospects draft. That's what it is. Yeah, you get a couple guys that can play in the NHL their first year, but generally, most guys are not playing in the NHL their first year. It's a prospects draft. Where in the NFL, everybody's on the team right away. You pick a guy the first round, he's on your team. That's what's going to happen. He might even be a really, really big, special, important player on your team in a lot of cases. And then, but hockey's different. You have the draft, and then you have free agency after that. So everything you're kind of planning up for free agency is great, but you have to kind of take a back seat, and then you got to do it. And again, it's not going to necessarily impact you, what you draft or who you draft, but it might impact the moves you make. It might impact the moves you make, one or the other. And we get to this time, and you're going to see and hear from other teams around the league, their GMs, and head coaches, or whoever, their scouts, doing some press conferences and some media availability. And that's what we have today from Kevin Adams and Jerry Fortin down at, I have to make sure from Paul. Paul's in now. Paul, you're on the Western Hotline. Where is the media availability today? Are you at the Bills/Sabres draft room or are you at KeyBank Center?
Yes.
Both?
No, the stadium.
Oh, you're at the stadium. Okay, so you are at the Bills slash Sabres new war room. So you're in the media room down there, much like we would be for a Bills environment. So how does it differ? And I'm curious from your standpoint here. You've been a part of the Bills pre-draft press conferences, how they do it. How does it differ in hockey and football from your standpoint, from a media standpoint, of what you're going to get out of these things from a football standpoint versus a hockey standpoint?
Well, we'll talk to the head of amateur scouting, who also is now assistant general manager, in Jerry Fortin. So, you know, he's the one that has been out scouting all these guys and have seen them all and done the work on them, along with the staff and the scouts. So, you know, he's available to talk about any players or what kind of draft this is. You know, can you get a good defenseman? Can you get a good winger? Can you get a good center? When is the drop-off point of the draft? You know, things like that, which Jerry Fortin is good at.
Paul Hamilton is live down at One Bills Drive, where the Sabres will have their war room set up at a decentralized draft, basically. And was it a centralized or decentralized draft? Basically, it's not everybody going to a city the way they used to before. And today, Kevin Adams and Jerry Fortin are going to speak to the media. Paul, what is the first or very close to first topic/question that will be asked to Kevin Adams today?
Well, of course, J.J. Paterka, and if things have gone wrong, where have they gone wrong? Because J.J. Paterka gave no indication whatsoever when he spoke after the season that there was a problem between him and the team. So I think that probably will be the first question. You know, what's going on? When did this start? Is it true? And, you know, see where that stands.
One of the things that's kind of happened here, and this doesn't really happen a lot in the NFL when we cover these pre-draft press conferences, is there are a lot of rumors out there about certain things happening. You know, when you get to the NFL draft, yeah, you could talk about, oh, there's a rumor that you might trade the number two pick or move down, you're looking to that. But as I was just explaining about free agency, how the calendar works, all of this stuff kind of happens at once in the NHL, Paul, and you have the draft first, and then you have free agency. So this is really an opportunity for Kevin Adams to, A, either really squash what's out there about J.J. Paterka, or we could walk away from this thing with a lot more smoke and thinking, okay, something's happening. Do you expect him to kind of go one way or the other here?
I tend to believe Pierre LeBrun before I believe some of the other folks who put something out about J.J. Paterka about every 10 minutes, obviously talking to his agent. And one thing that LeBron has said as recently as today is the Sabres still want to keep J.J. Paterka. Have there been talks? Yes. But they're still in the mindset that they want to keep him. Whether they'll be able to, that's a different story. But, you know, he didn't sound like there's anything imminent. And, you know, their preference is still to try to keep him, even though, of course, teams have made proposals to the Sabres. But they're not real keen on him, and so it seems like that seems like more of a believable thing than some of the things that some of the other people are putting out there.
Okay, so there are two parts to the Paterka situation. There's the could you possibly trade him, and the Sabres want to keep him. They don't want to trade him. Well, let's just say that they do keep him. You know, what does that look like? What does a contract look like? What do we know about, what do we think that J.J. Paterka is looking for? And is it possible, Paul, if you could lay out the scenario, what if J.J. Paterka doesn't get traded, but he says, I'm just not signing here in Buffalo? How does all that play out, and what does it look like as they head into, you know, training camp and the regular season? What are the scenarios?
Well, J.J. would lose a lot of money if both sides get entrenched and he has to hold out. You know, he's going to get fined. He, you know, isn't going to make any money. He does not have the hammer here. I mean, it's not like he has unrestricted free agency on the horizon. That's still a long ways away for him, and he is a restricted free agent. Now, he could sign his qualifying offer, which, you know, if you know, there would only be a one-year type of a scenario for him to sign that qualifying offer and then go right back to doing this next year. That would be an option, and more the likely option. As far as money goes, it depends how long a contract it is. If you're talking 6, 7, 8 years, you know, it's going to be different than if you're talking a 2 or a 3 year deal, you know, which, you know, allows him to do this once again in a couple of years, if that's what he signed. So it depends on the length of the contract, how far. I mean, it could get as far as $8 million a year. If you want to, you know, get real silly about it, Right now, J.J. Paterka is pretty much a one-way player, 55 goals in his last 2 years. His defensive numbers are not good at all, but he's also young. I think he did improve on the defensive side last year, but it wasn't a huge improvement. But you could see that he improved somewhat. How much can he improve to improve those analytic numbers? That remains to be seen, and that's something that's up to him. He can improve them when he wants to. Well, you know, if that's a concentration that he wants to do, you know, he'd be able to do that. So all those factors factor into, but really I think what it boils down to is how long of a contract is it, and then that pretty much depends on the money.
Paul Hamilton on the Wester Hotline. He is down at One Bills Drive, where the Sabres will hold their pre-draft media availability. The Sabres will use the Buffalo Bills War Room and Media Room for their draft coming up this weekend. His reports on WGR brought to you by Equitable Advisors, thinking about today and planning for tomorrow, and by Relax Honda. Relax, we got this. Well, J.J. Paterka is not the only Buffalo Sabre in the rumor mill, I guess you'd say. We know about Bo Byram also being there, and Matias Samuelsson. Is it, do you think something that's really on the table for the Sabres to buy out Matias Samuelsson has been rumored and reported over the weekend that could be possible?
Well, he'd be on your cap for 10 years. You'd be paying him for 10 years. Now it would be less than $1 million that you would be paying him for those 10 years. But I don't know if Terry Pegula wants to. He's still paying Christian Ehrhoff. Now, Christian Ehrhoff doesn't go against the cap, but he's still paying him. Something around $857,000, I believe. He still gets that check and still will for another couple of years. So I don't know if Terry Pegula has a taste for paying Matias Samuelsson, even though it's in the less than $800,000 for the next 10 years. I wondered out loud, and Tage Thompson was on a podcast last week with the guys from St. Louis, and he expressed disappointment in how that went down when he got hit and nobody came to his aid. But he also said that it's been addressed in the locker room and he doesn't feel it will ever happen again. He thinks everybody is on the right page and on board to where it is. But I said it then and I'll say it again. I asked Rob Ray about this. I know on teams I've played on, that player, Matias Samuelsson, would not be able to recover in the locker room from that. But that's not the NHL. So I've asked some people, you know, can that player, you know, who have played in the NHL, can that player come back from that? And I'll tell you what, I just think it's very difficult to face your teammates after that's happened. And quite honestly, it kind of happened after that, too. I mean, he kind of got into scrums after that, but there were other scrums that he shied away from. And if you're not there for a teammate, that's going to cause problems in the locker room. So I think it's very difficult for him to recover from what happened on that day when Thompson got hit and nobody stepped in.
We'll also get some questions, I'm sure, to Kevin Adams about Alex Tuch and what that looks like. If Alex Tuch says to the Sabres, I'm not really sure I want to resign here, and I don't know if we can really get something done here, let's see how it goes. Does that mean that they need to kind of move on him and say, okay, we can't risk having this player and letting him walk for nothing? Or do they just kind of play it out and then still try to convince him and see where they are at the trade deadline?
He's so important to the team. I would take the chance and try to convince him that things are going to get better, and things do get better. You can always trade him at the trade deadline and put him out there then. But he is just so important to this team. If he's not closing the door and still has the door open, if it were me, I would take the chance and leave the door open to take the chance that this team does show improvement and does make the playoffs, or, you know, is in the conversation to the last day of the season, and, take it from there. Because don't forget, Alex Tuch was a Sabre fan growing up and went to Sabre games and was so excited when he was traded to the Buffalo Sabres and was going to be a Buffalo Sabre. So I don't think that's changed. What's changed is just the severe losing, and it just keeps happening over and over and over again, and they just don't seem to be getting anywhere. But I think he would love to stay, but what you said could be true. You know, he might want to wait and see attitude and see what happens this year.
We also have the Bo Byram situation out there. It feels like that might be the, don't know if I want to say easiest. It's never easy necessarily, Paul, but it might be the most understandable type of deal the Sabres can make to kind of help what he wants to accomplish, what they want to accomplish. It's not contentious, and he's got some value, right? I would think that he'd get you something of value that you think could help your team this year.
And they can't promise him the ice time that he would like. He wants to be a top defenseman, and that's Rasmus Dahlin and Owen Power. So he knows here in Buffalo that can't happen. He knows he's not going to be on the power play unless one of those two guys is injured. So that's what he's up against here. I don't sense at all that it's anything against Buffalo, anything against the team. He gets along with his teammates very well. I think he enjoyed being here and has enjoyed being here, but I just think he wants a bigger role. Now, if you tell him that he's going to be Rasmus Dahlin's partner, which went very well for him, it's when he was with some other guys on the team that it didn't go well. Does that change his mind? I don't know if that would change his mind or not, where he'd be willing to sign a long Sabres. They played very well together. Rasmus Dahlin is fine on the right side. He doesn't have to be a right-handed shot to play over there, and he's proven it that he's fine over there. So I don't know if that kind of scenario is enough for Bo Byram, that he would be willing to say, yeah, if I'm going to be Rasmus Dahlin's partner, of course I'll hang out.
And, of course, they do have the goaltending situation they need to address. Free agency starts as well on July 1st, obviously. You have the draft this weekend. Not suggesting they would draft a goalie, but they do have to keep in mind what the future of that position looks like. There's been some kind of talk out there that maybe the Sabres will look to bring in a more true number one. What does that mean, though, if they do that for both Devin Levi and Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen? If they do bring in somebody, does that mean that they're just going to roll and have Luukkonen also there and Levi and Rochester? Or would they kind of move on from Luukkonen to do something like that, do you think, Paul?
Well, they have drafted three goalies that aren't named Luukkonen and Levi, and they didn't draft Levi. They traded for him in the system. None of them would be ready to play in the NHL, and we don't even know if Levi's ready yet to play in the NHL. So for me, and free agency really isn't filled with good goaltenders, so for me, I would definitely be looking for a goaltender with the idea that Levi starts in Rochester. I don't know if he'd be real happy about that or not, but right now it's not his choice, and they got to do what's best for his development, which I think for the last year and a half they've been doing. So I would not be comfortable going into the season with the two young goalies. It could work. You know, both could be fantastic, but it could not work, too, and if it doesn't work, you're in big trouble. You're not making the playoffs. You're not going to make the playoffs with the goaltending they had last year, and it has to be better. And you have to be better than 29th in the league in goals against. Not all the goaltender's fault. A lot of bad things in Buffalo. That has to change also for the goaltending to be better.
I think we keep losing Paul. I think we have to drop him out right here. Paul, just so you know, Paul, your connection is losing out a little bit, so we'll kind of do that. I do have another question. If you can reconnect with him, let me know, and I can we can do that, and bring Paul back in. Paul Hamilton on the West Her Hotline. Sabres have a pre-draft press conference coming up at 11 a.m. It will be Kevin Adams and Jerry Fortin. We do have Paul back. Paul, I know we're not going to hear from Lindy today. I don't think we're scheduled to hear from Lindy today, but how much of any say at all, like, do you think Lindy has and what's happening this offseason, whether it's what they want at the draft, but especially trades and free agency and what he wants? Like, what is that dynamic between the two, the GM, the head coach, and everybody in the organization?
Well, he has nothing to do with the draft. He's been very, all through the years, told me, because I'll get to the draft and say, Lindy, can I talk to you before I draft? He goes, why? I'm just sitting at the table. He goes, I got nothing to do with this. You know, he's not scouting players and that type of thing. But I think he has a lot of input now into the building of the roster, what he wants on the roster, what maybe he doesn't want on the roster anymore. So, yes, I do think he has more of a say in roster build and will be listened to. And if there are some players that he just doesn't think he can live with anymore, or he doesn't think he can win with, then those players probably will be ex-Sabres.
Paul, I heard you this morning with the guys say something I agree with, which is on the Trevor Zegras trade. Hey, this is a great example of a guy that fans see and think a lot more highly of him than GMs do. And I agree with that. The proof is right there, right? Look what the return was on a guy like Trevor Zegras. But you see a guy like that, and then what does it tell you about the marketplace for players like that, high-end skilled players, and then maybe getting to J.J. Paterka, right, who he is that player, but you question maybe what he plays and what his role is on the defensive end and how he plays that.
Yeah, I wish I could remember. I heard somebody say that yesterday, and to me it's so true. And when I hear that Chicago might be willing to part with the third overall pick for J.J. Paterka, that doesn't make sense to me. I think J.J. Paterka in his 55 goals is great, but right now he's more of a one-way type of a player. I guess I could be wrong, but I can't see the Blackhawks giving the third overall pick for him. I don't think he's that good. I think, you know, there is plenty of room for improvement, and you can't sneeze it when he's scoring 27 and 28 goals in a season. That means a lot. And he's a gifted goal scorer and a gifted offensive player. But, you never say never, but I would be shocked if the Sabres wound up with a third overall pick for him. Now, maybe there would be other considerations in there. Maybe the Sabres would have to give up their pick. Maybe it would just be moving up with other things involved in the trade also. So maybe they swap picks, and then Chicago goes to 9, Buffalo goes to 3. But other things I still think would have to be involved in a trade like that. So it varies, true. And I would totally listen to somebody who would say, well, the Sabres should have gone and get Zegras. He, for 2 years, was an excellent hockey player, over 65 points. He scores those highlight reel goals, so that gets fans excited when they see him do the Michigan and more than once. But the last couple of years has been severe regression in his game. And the Sabres all have players that have shown regression in their games. And I just would not be ready if I were the GM of the Sabres to take on another one of those guys hoping that he can get back to what he was a couple of years ago. And somebody would say, well, you got to take a chance. Okay, I agree with that. I just personally wouldn't be willing to do it right now with what the Sabres have gone through the last couple of years. I don't think the Sabres are in a position to wait a couple of years to see if he can get better. They got to get better now.
Yeah, I agree with you. You and I have been on the same page about this. Like, I mean, okay, number 3 overall pick for J.J. Paterka because the value sounds good. But again, what am I doing with the number 3 overall pick in my system, and where are we here with that? Because you got to make this work for the NHL roster right now, however you do it. You know what I thought about with Trevor Zegras? You tell me if this sounds right. I think that sounds to me like Joshua Norris in a lot of ways, which is a guy who has a lot of upside offensively, but he can't stay on the ice either. Trevor Zegras has had some injuries. I mean, he hasn't played a full season in 3 years. That was only full season.
Yes, he has.
It's the only full season he has ever played. You know what I mean? So it reminds me a little bit of that. You're banking on, and I think Josh Norris could, you know, points-wise, a little bit more of a complete player as well, but it kind of feels like something like that where you're hoping it works, but hope is not a strategy right now.
Absolutely right. And Zucker said that the other day, and I agree with you and him totally 100%. You've already got a guy on your team that you've traded for that has had injury problems. You would get a second guy, which means both your centermen, your top two centermen, would be guys that have had trouble staying healthy, because Kulik, I think, would have to move off center if you get Zegras. And I think Josh Norris is a much better player than Zegras right now when they're both healthy. I think Norris is the better player right now. That doesn't mean Zegras can't get back to what he was, which would be an excellent player, but he too would have to improve his defense like J.J. Paterka does. He could put up numbers, but he would have to be more of a two-way NHL player to be a complete player that could help a playoff team. So you've already got the guy who...
I think we lost Paul again. We're going to let him go. We have the Kevin Adams press conference at 11. Josh, you can connect with Paul. Let him know that we'll be connecting with him at 11 a.m. But thank you very much, Paul. I know you got to run anyway. You got to get ready for what's happening down at 1 Bills Drive for the Buffalo Sabres pre-draft press conference coming up at 11 a.m. We are going to carry that live here on WGR on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Let me kind of reset the show for you today. We just had Paul on a little earlier than normal because he is down at 1 Bills Drive. The Sabres are getting ready for their pre-draft press conference. That'll be at 11 o'clock today, just about a half hour from now. We'll carry that live. That's Kevin Adams. That's Jerry Fortin. They're going to talk to the media about, you know, the draft, free agency, guys like J.J. Paterka, I think, first and foremost. I asked Paul, what's the number one question first question slash topic. And I agree. It's J.J. Paterka, right? That's got to be the first thing that's going to be talked about. Alex Tuck will be talked about a lot. Bo Byram. I wonder if we get any answers. I think for me, and look, you can always say whatever you want to say that you want the media to know. We know those things happen in these types of settings, right? But what I think I'm hoping for, at least, is to, after I hear Kevin Adams talk, I get a very good understanding of where they stand on J.J. Paterka. And I don't know if we'll get that. He might just say something and it might be totally like to throw you off a trail. I get it. Smokescreen season, right? We talk about that in the NFL. But if Kevin Adams comes out and says, look, we are all in on signing J.J. Paterka. We're not going to negotiate in the media, but we've had talks and we really want to keep this player. Then I think that, you know, I'm going to believe that and think that that's going to try to get done. Because if he says that and then they trade him, he's got to answer to that. And, well, wait a minute, what do you mean? You just said that you wanted to do that. What happened? What went wrong? And you don't want to paint yourself in that corner, but it's certainly possible and things can change. If he comes out, though, and Kevin Adams says, in a half hour from now, if he says, yeah, we're still looking at possibilities. We're fielding calls on all of our players. You know, we know the situation we have with JJ. We'd love to re-sign him, but everything's on the table. If he says that, I'm thinking the door is much more wide open than that they might move on from him. We'll see where it goes. 803-0550 is the number to call if you have anything you want to chime in on here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio with you. We'll take a break here. We'll come back, kind of lay it out again for you. I also, I have a very off-topic thing I need to bring up because it's just something that's been in my brain and bothering me, but it kind of came out again for me this weekend. I have a very strange, Josh, I think weird, strange, like phobia. And I want to explain it to you when we come back, okay? And I wonder if people listening have the same phobia. I actually looked it up. There is a phobia, but not specifically to what I have, but it's related to something else. And I'm like, man, I wonder if other people are like this. And it happened to me again this weekend when I was in New York City. And I'm like, okay, I got to talk about this on the radio because I don't know if I'm different, if this is just something for me. I'm sure other people do, but I'm curious. So I do want to do that. I'll bring that up for a couple minutes when we come back because we're going to bridge the gap from here till the Kevin Adams press conference at 11 a.m. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR. All right, save all your... Yeah, I got a phobia of the Sabres actually being good. Just never happened. I don't know what it would be like. Save all that. That's not the whole thing. We all want that to happen. But I do. I teased it, and I want to bring it up. I have this very weird... I think I would call it a phobia, but it's not more... I'm not afraid of it. It's something that really messes with me, okay? So I want to run this by you. Josh Schmidt, my producer, sitting behind the glass. All right. You have any phobias, by the way?
Spiders and heights.
Ooh, arachnophobia. Yeah, yep. I'm not. I kind of have arachnophobia, but it's not too bad. Like, I don't love spiders at all.
Anytime I see a spider on a screen, I feel like it's crawling on me. It's terrible. Like, if there's a commercial or like a TV show,
I'm with you on that. I'm kind of.
Heights. I hate roller coasters. Oh, I hate like all that stuff.
I'm not afraid of heights, but I don't like being like the feeling I get. Like, oh, there's nothing really stopping me from being
right,
over there.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Well, my thing. I like going down on the roller coaster. It's the going up that freaks me out.
Okay,
because it's so slow when you go up.
This is a great segue. Okay, here is the thing that messes with me, and I don't know if I come on and call it a phobia. A down escalator that is not moving.
So
if it's just stairs, no.
Oh,
it is an escalator.
That's off.
Correct.
And you're going down.
And I have to walk down what normally would be an escalator taking me down. This does not happen going up the escalator. Okay.
Okay.
If it's an escalator going up, I'm fine. I just walk up the escalator. I walk up the stairs. So imagine you're at a mall or another area, a place. Okay. And a shopping center, whatever, where you'd have an escalator. And the escalator's broke. And they say, hey, you know, you can use it. It's not working. It's not moving. And you have to walk up. That's fine. I can walk up. You have to walk down. I have it's wild. Like, I'll do it. But I have to go very slow, hold on to something, and I can't look down. And if I do, and I take a few steps, I'm looked. When I get to the bottom, I have to compose myself. I'm not kidding.
I think I have a theory as to why this may be.
Okay.
So when you walk down regular stairs, you can discern step to step.
Yes.
When you're walking down an escalator, it's got the
grooves.
the lines, the grooves.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it's not like side to side.
Right.
They're all going straight. So it's, I think.
Yes.
It's
I
almost
think this
like
is, I think you're onto something. This kind of seems right to me.
It's almost like your eyes are playing a trick on your mind that all of these stairs are one.
Yes.
And you can't tell what's what. And that like kind of plays with your mind a little bit. Almost gives you like vertigo, essentially.
Yes. 100% exactly and, how I feel. And I don't know if that's exact reason, but I like your theory.
It is interesting, though, because like when you go down regular stairs, they all look the same, but you can tell that there's depth there. I think with the lines the being in the direction they are, like the grooves on the escalator, all being like straight out away from you, I think that is what messes with your brain. Because like thinking about it in my head, like picturing like looking down at an escalator,
mm-hmm.
You can never tell, or it's like harder to tell step to step. But like looking down stairs, you can tell step, 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 unless it's like, you know,
right.
Like super... Well blended, I guess.
But. I'm wondering if anybody else has this. And honestly, like tweet me at Sal Sports. Let me know. Like, is this something that do you know? I actually looked this up this morning because I said I want to bring this up because this happened at New York City. We were in a shopping center and we were shopping in Manhattan, and we went into one of the stores. And this has always been a bit of a thing with me. So Yana knows, and when we get there, she's like, "Hey, you know, the escalator's broke. Whatever. It's not a big deal. Like, oh, you got to avoid it. But you know, she knows that this kind of messes with me, and it just got." It really came out this day, like it when I was there. And I'm like, it's gotten worse. Like, it's gotten worse over the years. And I'm like, man, I really have to like sit down, compose myself for a second before I start walking again. And I just have to get my wits about me, I guess.
I think it's that vertigo thing. Like, I wonder if it's less of a fear and more of just like your brain gets confused and you just get dizzy sort of thing. You know what I mean? And then that might also trigger like a fear thing if you're like dizzy in a high place.
Okay, I want to type this in. So there is a thing I typed in, a fear of an escalator not working and being on one, but they said it's actually part of actually having a broken escalator phenomenon, but it's actually something that escalator fear is called escalophobia. It's a part of escalophobia. I am not afraid of escalators. I like escalators. It's fine. I have a good relationship with escalators, okay? People movers. I love people movers at the airport.
Yeah.
Woohoo! We always race, right? Like, I get on the people mover and Max runs.
Right.
We always race. It's great. I have a great relationship with people movers and escalators and elevators and all that stuff. If a people mover isn't working, I'm fine. I walk down the people mover or just around it.
It's just like...
If the escalator going up is broke, it's fine. I walk up. I can't... It's the down. I don't know what it is.
It's
kind of weird.
I really think it's like looking at all the steps. It's just the looking at the steps all blended
together. Yeah, I think you're right.
That might be it. And a side note about phobia names.
Yeah.
Every phobia name is so good because it's just phobia with like part of the word you're scared of on the front of it. And did you ever, there's a phobia for long, like the fear of long words. And that word
is super long.
It's like 36 letters.
That's right.
Like, yeah. It's so ironic that it works out that way.
I mean, seriously. So I had to get that off my chest because I'm just wondering if anybody else kind of experiences the same thing out there. I will tell you, as you know, like I have this could be it too. I don't know, but it's also gotten worse as I got older. I have an issue where I was passing out, and now I have a pacemaker because of it. And I wonder, and I did pass out a few times, and I got would get dizzy, then pass out. But I was never on an escalator when it happened. You know what I mean? Thank goodness, because then you'd fall down the escalator. But I don't know if that is tied to it, but you know, maybe that has some sort of thing that goes along with that. Anyway, just thought I'd throw it out there, and maybe people can tell me. All right, how about this? Brett says, anytime I walk down an escalator that isn't running, the first step always feels weird. Like I've got to do it in slow motion. Exactly. And for me, it's the next step. Think about that, Brett, and every step after that is the same for me. It's kind of weird. I don't know. So I appreciate that, Brett, at Sal Sports. 803-0550 is the number to call if you want to jump on board the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. What are you expecting to hear from Kevin Adams today? When I tweeted out that Kevin Adams was going to be on at 11 and we are going to carry him live, there were several responses already that came in and they were not very friendly to Kevin Adams, right? Because that's the situation the Sabres are in where they have a GM that's been in charge for... What is it, 5 years now, right, Kevin Adams? How long has he been a GM?
6 years, actually.
6 years now. Six years.
This is, I think it's going into the sixth year.
And, you know, they're still in the same spot, and I get that, and people want to change. Well, listen, you're beyond that. That's not going to happen. I get it. You can rail about it and rage about it and be upset about it, And I'm not here to tell you you're even wrong, right? That, okay, he shouldn't be the GM after everything that's happened. But he is. So now you go forward. That's what the next step is. You go forward and you say, okay, he is the GM. What is his plan? Because it's not another guy making decisions. It's him making decisions and the owner and the head coach and everything else that goes in along with it. So that's where we are right now. It's not, you can be mad about Kevin Adams being in his position. It does nobody any good or matters whatsoever to necessarily, you know, complain about that other than getting it off your chest, I guess. Like I just did for my phobia. But what matters is, what is the plan? Because I mean, quite honestly, like, if I have my choice that this team could be bad again and Kevin Adams gets fired, or they get into the playoffs next year and Kevin Adams keeps his job, you're damn straight I'm choosing number two. I want him to be good. And if I hope Kevin Adams wins a Stanley Cup in the next few years. Like, I'm not, there's nothing personal against him. If you want to make a change because they're bad, I get it. This is a results business. But if I have a choice of him being, this team being good, or making the playoffs at least, let's just say make the playoffs, this team making the playoffs next year, and Kevin Adams keeping his job after that, versus they're bad again, and you move on from him, I'm taking playoffs and Kevin Adams. Because you could have some other better grand idea, I guess. But there's no guarantees. You could do the same thing and keep recycling, rinse and repeat as much as you want. That's what we've done. It's not what I want to do. I want them to be in the playoffs. I want to have playoff hockey again. We were watching the Stanley Cup Finals at my house. And I can't remember which game it was. It was in Edmonton or it was in Florida. One of the Cup Final games. And game five, game six, whichever one it was. And it was rocking, right? The arena was rocking. I'm like, oh, man, this is great. And I turned to my 11-year-old son and I said, you know, it was like that here in Buffalo. Want me to show you? And literally pulled up very grainy, like, video of 06-07, 05-06. Pulled up the Pominville goal. Pulled up the Drury goal to tie it. Pulled up the Yefimov goal. Pulled up the Briere goal in double overtime. The Dumont goal. I mean, yeah, I pulling up these goals, like, watch this, right? And I know Pominville was on the road. I get it. But the excitement, like in RJ's voice. But the home goals, the big goals in those moments, in that time, it was just so cool to kind of go back and revisit. And to show my son, who's never seen playoff hockey, never in Buffalo, to show him what that can actually be like. And it will be like that again if/when they make the playoffs again. Like, that will happen. Folks, if the Sabres make the playoffs this year or 3 years from now, the first time they make it, like, the building's selling out and it's going to be rocking. It does not matter. Like, you can say all you want. I know people tell me, I've checked out, I'm this, I'm not going to get. No, if they make the playoffs, you're going back in. You're listening. You're like, you know what? I'm dialed back in. There'd be very few people listening here now who actually wouldn't do that. You might not go to the game. You're dialing in, you're watching, but most of you would say, I want to go to the game. A game. Be there. Let's go to Steve in Charlotte. What's up, Steve? You're on WGR.
Hey, thank you for taking my call.
You got it.
I was just telling your screener that I've sort of like come to this realization, and I'm not even sure this makes sense, so forgive me if what I say doesn't track, okay? I sort of feel like the Florida Panthers, this is adjacent to the Sabres, is that, like, they've sort of broken hockey. They're this amazing team, lots of talent, very savvy moves to get good talent, and they win all the time. But they're also in a market that's tax-advantaged, outstanding weather, incredible lifestyle, like, in terms of it's a very high-net-worth area, Delray Beach, Sunrise, Fort Lauderdale, like, very high-net-worth area. And you're also kind of a small fish in a huge pond, right? So you fly out of the radar. Nobody really knows who you are. There's no pressure to win, and they do anyway. How do you compete with that if you're Buffalo or Toronto or any of the Canadian markets where you have teams that lose all the time or lose consistently in the playoffs, like Toronto? Inevitably, in the spring, when they lose again next year in the playoffs, they're going to have 25 cameras and 50 microphones in your face with an old man asking the 22-year-old why you lost the playoffs in Toronto. Or you can go to Florida, win, and not have that at all. So there's no fan pressure to win. There's no media pressure to win. And they win anyway. So for any of the, you know, finger quotes, traditional markets, hockey markets, cold weather teams, like, why would you want to sign up for that if you're a hockey player when you could just go to Florida, make more money,
well,
be in no pressure to win, and win anyway? How can you beat that?
I'll give you a reason why people would. You're not wrong. A lot of things you say, I agree with you, Steve. Like, it is a much different environment. Listen, Brad Marchand said it. Brad Marchand grew up a Toronto Maple Leafs fan, right? I believe Josh didn't. Brad Marchand grew up a Maple Leafs fan, right? And now he talked about beating them and what it's like in Toronto playing for that organization versus playing for a team like Florida, which is everything you said, which is correct. I mean, you listen to Craig Reve, who was a captain here in Buffalo, played for the Montreal Canadiens. Listen to him talk about what it's like to play in Montreal and under that kind of microscope in that city. Like, it absolutely is different. But the answer to your question, why someone would choose it, because those people thrive. Some people thrive in those environments. Some people want to do that. John Tavares went back to Toronto. He wanted to sign with the Toronto Maple Leafs, right? I mean, like, there's a guy that is on Long Island in New York. He could have done something else, gone to California, gone to Florida, I should say. He wanted to go there. I mean, some guys want that challenge. They want that environment. They're so competitive. That's what draws them to something like that. So I'm not here to disagree with a lot of things you say about how much it just allows you to play more free. Not at all. It is an advantage in that way, but that doesn't make it impossible. I mean, the Toronto Maple Leafs are there every year. And yes, they might lose, but they take them to game seven, right? They're right there. What's the difference? They win a game and they're, you know, where the Florida Panthers are or the Lightning have been. Yes, that's true. No doubt about it. Winnipeg. I mean, Winnipeg was the President's Trophy winner this year, right? That's a Canadian market. And yes, there's a lot of pressure once they get to the playoffs, and look what happened. There's no doubt about that. I'm not disagreeing with you, Steve. I am saying, though, that I don't think it makes it impossible. You know what I mean, buddy?
Am I still on the air?
Yep, you're on. Go ahead, buddy.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, thank you. Yeah, no, I appreciate that. Like, yeah, I just feel like if I'm a professional hockey player, which I am definitely not, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I would want to thrive in an environment where I can make maximize return on investment, right? So you're in a tax advantage state. Maximize salary and be in the least pressure. Why would you?
Well, there's a lot of people that believe that's why the Stanley Cup has remained in Florida over the last several years with the Lightning and the Panthers now, right? I mean,
but that's what I'm saying. It's like, who wants to work in a high pressure environment if you could do just as well, if not better, in a non pressure environment? It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, listen, man, thank you. I get it. I do think there are athletes that would say, like, no, I want all the pressure on me. But no, I mean, in a certain way, right? But you're right. What you're saying, it relieves you of that necessary pressure when you lose, but you get all the accolades when you win, right? And there's a different kind of pressure that goes along with that in a little bit. Thanks a lot for the call, Steve. I appreciate it. We're going to take a timeout. We're going to take a timeout. We'll be quick to get back to down to One Bills Drive after that, because Kevin Adams and Jerry Fortin will be talking to the media at 11 a.m. for their pre-draft press conference here on WGR.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
We know that music means something with the Sabres. That is the Sabre Dance. Years ago, I was watching Name That Tune, and Sabre Dance came up, actually. It's kind of weird. I'm like, I know that tune! I would never know it otherwise, but I knew it. We are awaiting Kevin Adams, the Buffalo Sabres general manager, to step to the podium down at One Bills Drive, because he will be holding his pre-draft press conference. I think it is happening now. I'm looking now and don't see him there yet and don't hear him there yet. Josh will tell me when he steps to the podium. And if you've seen some pictures from down at One Bills Drive, our Paul Hamilton is down there, by the way, you see the media room set up for this and with the Sabres backdrop, of course. But it's the Bills media room, as we call it. And, of course, it's owned both by the same owner and they work in conjunction. So you'll get Kevin Adams in the same room where we normally hear from Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott, Jerry Fortin as well, assistant GM. He will be with Kevin Adams. They are scheduled to be the two people talking today. And as I said to Paul earlier today, I asked him, what is the first question / topic that will be asked to Kevin Adams? And I agree, it will be something about J.J. Paterka. And if it's not, it'll be very close after that, right? That has been kind of the biggest thing hanging over this organization, or the most talked about topic. I think for the Bills, it's James Cook, right? And for the Sabres, it's J.J. Paterka. I think that's a fair way to put it. Like the biggest topic for the Bills when it comes to a person, a contract, a player right now, what is going to happen with James Cook? He is under contract for one more year. When it comes to the Sabres, it's what's going to happen with J.J. Paterka. He's a restricted free agent. There's been a lot of smoke, a lot of rumors, a lot of reports that the Sabres are possibly trading him. We'll find out now a little bit more from Kevin Adams. Here is the Sabres GM.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Yeah, a right shot receiver.
When JJ spoke with us at the end of the season, he gave us no indication at all that he was unhappy or anything like that. Has that changed? And if so, what's changed?
Yeah, I mean, I thought at the exit meeting with JJ, with me and Lindy separately, both were very positive, productive, honest conversations about, you know, things he'd done well and how he progressed and things where he needed to be better. And I think that's one of the things I really like about, you know, J.J. Paterka is his ability to analyze his own game and say, hey, I need to be better defensively. I need to, you know, do more to help the team win in games. And I think that's a sign of maturity from him. So, no, that's all positive on the J.J. front there from those conversations.
So is he asked to be moved?
This is the best way I would say. I don't think it's probably productive or beneficial for me to get into specifics on our players right now. This is the time of year where there's so much going on, and you know, there's probably, Mike, a lot of misinformation out there. And I guess probably leave it at that. You know, we have a plan that we came out of the end of the season with. You know, after the exit meetings, after the coaches' meetings, and you kind of break down the season and start to forecast, like, what are we looking to do? Meetings with ownership, you know, all that happens. You come out with a game plan and a to-do list of where do we go from here. And, you know, we're executing that plan. We're in the process of it. It's an exciting week, busy week ahead. But, you know, you look back over the last couple months and, you know, hiring Yarmo, hiring Eric, Stahl, Brian Gallivan, completely retooling the strength conditioning department, just looking at areas that we thought we needed to be better, change. We've been doing that, and now we're just kind of in that you know, process of now we're draft week and we continue. But, you know, it's been an exciting, for me personally, offseason so far and some of the additions we've made, and we'll keep at it here. I don't want to say yes or no because I just don't think it's the right time, you know, and I can probably after the draft get, you know, and when we have other conversations, get into more specifics on things, but I just don't think it's fair to the player, to be honest with you, to really even respond to that. I think it's just better to keep it to the fact that we have a plan, we're working towards helping our team get better. We're willing to do whatever it takes to get better. And I don't know, like I get memos on my desk every morning from PR of things. And I feel, to be, if I'm being honest, like I feel bad for our fans, the stuff that's out there. There's so much misinformation. So much of it's nonsense. I mean, someone that has no idea what they're talking about reporting that we were going to buy Sammy out. We've never had that conversation once. Like it's ridiculous. So I don't even think it's worth me really getting into it, but and I guess I'd just leave it at that.
Kevin, look ahead. How much do you anticipate
staying
at night?
No, I think it's like we do every year, and Jerry and his staff do a great job being prepared for everything. I would say I've had conversations up to this point from teams that are all the way up at the top of the draft right to teams behind us, you know, preparing for every possible scenario, moving up or down, which you've seen us do in the past. And also being able to willing to move the pick altogether. If there's a way to make our team better and it involves pick 9, we'll have zero hesitation. In saying that, we also believe we'll get a good player if we make pick a nine. So to me, that's the exciting part of the draft, you know, going through this process. But we're wide open, but our focus remains the same. How do we help our team get better?
Just to dig a little further on that, is given where you are with your prospects and all that, do you think there's more of it's more imperative, maybe that's not the right word, to feel that pick for established talent at this point of where you are as part of your plan?
I think I'd say imperative might not be the right word, but open to it more than maybe I've been in past years would be fair. You know, like I think we had to really kind of try to build this organization up the appropriate way. And I do believe in building through the draft and developing players and making sure you have depth in your organization, which is, you know, which I think we've done a really solid job of, have a good group of prospects, good group of players that aren't even in Rochester yet that are coming. So does it give you the, I don't know what the right word is, give you the comfort of saying if we move pick nine, you know, we still have a lot of young good assets? Absolutely. But I don't think you want to go into it saying, hey, I'm just moving this pick no matter what. These are valuable picks, and but you're open to everything, and trust me, the league knows that I'm absolutely open to moving pick nine if it's the right deal for us.
Kevin, what needs do you want to fill organizationally from this draft?
From the draft specifically? It's when you're talking about ordering your list, you know, it's especially in the top couple rounds, you're taking the best player available. As you get later in the draft, do you maybe get off your list a little because you've drafted maybe some forwards, you want to take a D? Then that's, you know, something you look at. But I think we've got good prospects and depth across the organization, and our philosophy won't change. We'll take the best available player if we're making that pick at nine. Well, I think, you know, in general, you're always going to say that you'd love to have a good depth on the D, especially right shot D are hard to come by. So if you can build that, and saying that, we have multiple right shot D in our system that are coming. So centers, defensemen, goaltenders, you know, that's all. Maybe some wingers mixed in there. Just depth, and make sure that you're adding to your pipeline. But you know, I defer. I have a lot of respect for Jerry, Jason Nightingale, our amateur staff. We have our January meetings where I get to know these players for the first time, and then I start to get more involved on the amateur side after the January meeting. And then we had our May meetings where you really dig in and you spend a lot of time morning till night going through all these players. So I've familiarized myself by this point with many players. And then I love the work our guys do, and I love the passion they show, and that's what, you know, when it all comes together, Friday, Saturday is a lot of fun for me to watch our amateur guys debate and, you know, hopefully get to the right answers.
Once you started building this thing, there was a big emphasis on guys that wanted to be here, and I'm curious, as you get to this point, you know, whether it's JJ or any of these other guys, there's contract situations, there's the frustration of losing, like, how do you draw that line?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think just it's important to have people in your organization, players, coaches, staff, that believe in what you're doing and want to be here for the right reason. And I mean, I'm sure I've said this before, but I'll make the point that, you know, paying someone more money, hoping that they'll make them happy, isn't usually a recipe for success. You know, you have to have players that buy into and believe what you're doing and wake up every day in Buffalo excited to be a Sabre. I think that's important. In saying that, are there hard conversations with times? Are players at times frustrated with things? Absolutely. And that's part of the relationship building that I believe in from my job through the coaches. Having those conversations, there's hard days too where players are frustrated or I'm frustrated, and but that doesn't mean you wake up because a player is upset at that day and you're just trading them. You know, it's kind of, so I guess my point of saying all that is, yeah, getting players to believe in what we're doing is critically important. Having them, for me, be transparent with them to explain why we're doing things. decisions we're making, have them part of the equation of helping me with the right answers. And then also, they need to perform. And if they perform, that's going to be a win-win for them and us. Go ahead. Yeah, I think I said this probably right after the season. For me, I have all the faith in the world in UPL and Devin Levi. I believe in my core that both of them are going to be excellent National Hockey League goaltenders. I think we need to play better in front of them, better defend better, and that'll help our goaltending. We're open, for Devin, and what I've, and this is not something new to him. He and I have had this conversation within the last few weeks that I believe in him. The timeline's up to him. He's a young goaltender still. Now he's got some more experience under his belt that when he's ready to take the step, he will, and we'll be ready for that. Do I have a problem if those are our two goalies opening night? Absolutely not. But I'm also, going to make sure that we're smart how we do things and put our team in the best position. So, what I guess most excited about is I believe in those two guys.
Hey, Jerry. how do you think this draft shakes out after 5 and knowing that you're at 9? It seems to be somewhat of a consensus that, for the first 5 guys, but how does this draft shake out? And when does the intrigue start for you?
Well, I think I've seen some people refer to it even as a two-player draft. We don't quite see it that way. We see more 5, 6, 7 players, and then maybe a little bit of a drop-off and a big cluster of players after that. So I guess the intrigue and the nervousness will one of those, how we view the top 6, 7 to be, will one of those be there at 9 for us? And could there be a situation where we move up? If we have the pick, do we move up? Do we move back? If all the players are gone or if one of them's still available there at, 7 or 8?
Do you think, with Kevin saying he's open at number 9, but is there some point that you might advise Kevin to say, well, we're done, maybe we should move back, it puts you in a curious, an interesting situation.
Yeah, and to some extent we did that last year. We moved down 3 spots because we were pretty confident we were going to get the same player at 14 that we were going to get at 11. You're taking on some risk, and that's our opinion, that the players are equal players, or maybe you're even getting a slightly better player than you thought you were going to get at that spot. It's interesting. Trading the pick is interesting. You got to have teams that want the pick and want to give you NHL players back for the pick. I think I said this the last couple of years, nothing would make the amateur staff more excited than if we're helping our team right now and we trade away our first round pick. So we're always open to that as well.
Jerry, have you got any sense from teams higher in the order that maybe there's an open, trading up that might
be a lot, but yeah.
From what Jerry's saying, if there's that pocket of players, we all talk about trading, they get done.
Yeah. It's historically very challenging to move up, to the very top of the draft. We do have a unique, I think, position, the fact that we have a lot of assets that would be pretty valuable in terms of young prospects, players, extra picks, all that stuff. So I think that gives us every opportunity. Jerry does a really good job of kind of clustering players for me. This is the time to strike. If a deal, if you can make a deal, do it now, because this is the guy. I mean, we did it last year with Zimmer. We had him at a certain spot, and we felt that we got to get this kid right now. And we were able to get up and get him. So I think Jerry and his staff work all year to be able to give me that information, because sometimes you only may have 2 minutes to make that decision. So all that work's done beforehand.
I would add to that, too, I think, every year there's a lot of teams trying to get up in the draft, and as you say, it rarely happens. I think it would probably have to be part of a big trade for it to happen, or for the most part, you need multiple first-round picks to get up at that point in the draft.
Kevin, every year, like around this time, we hear, hey, teams are going to start using offer sheets more. And then in like a week and a half, that doesn't come to fruition. Do you get the sense that that is a possibility? And then tied to that, with restricted free agents, does that build in a timeline of like, okay, we kind of have to make the decisions on these before that offer sheet window?
Yeah, I think it's, I mean, it's a mechanism in the CBA that every team has. Well, if you have your picks, every team, you have the ability to look at that. As we go through our own process, we plan out and prepare budget-wise for those type of things. So it's something that, you know, we don't wake up every day fearful of anything. We plan appropriately. But... you know, I think there's a, it's an element of the CBA that it's not that teams are not wanting to use it or don't understand it. It's that it's not as easy to find the right fit to have it work. You know, you have to have the appropriate picks. You have to have the cap space. You have to, you know, and there's just a lot of things that you have to really like the player and all these other areas. So I just think that's why you don't see it that often, because it's just not something that's as easy to pull off. But I think every team's going through their own discussions internally, just like we would. If there's an area to make your team better, you want to do it.
Kevin, what are the advantages or disadvantages of the decentralized draft format this year? And what did you do to prepare for it as an organization?
Well, the advantages, we are at One Bills Drive. Maybe that gives us some, I don't know, maybe there's another NHL team using an NFL facility, but not that I know of. So we're pretty fortunate that Terry and Laura and Pete, Brandon, Sean, offered this up when they called and asked me. I jumped at it. I think it's great. So we'll have the ability to have a big space in a room that Brandon uses that's built for this exact type of draft. So for us, that's a huge win, huge benefit. The downside, you know, maybe just the running into people that, you know, on the draft floor at that moment. But it's not like I can't call or text or, you know, so you're not going to not do a deal because you're not together. But, you know, there is something about, you know, the draft, everybody sitting together where, you know, you make eye contact and say, give them a nod and let's chat real quick. You know, so that's something that'll be a little different for all of us. But in terms of workflow, we're treating this just like any other draft and, you know, fortunate that we have this facility. Yeah, I'm glad you asked, Paul. I think this is a role that I've been personally kind of thinking about trying to add someone for a long time. I wanted to be very selective, picky, what's the right ever word to say, in who that person was, because I had there was some really specific criteria that I was looking for in someone in this role, and that was, one, someone that sat in the chair before, that's knows exactly what it feels like in certain moments, whether it's certain things you deal with, pressure, that has perspective to be able to help. Two, I was looking for someone that wanted to work, you know, not that, okay, I'd done that role and I'll be there once in a while if you want a phone call. Yarmo, in my discussions with him, leading up to hiring him, was I'm all in and I'm going to be, you know, every part of this organization he's going to get involved with, add his experience, his perspective. He's, you know, he's going to be based out of Columbus, which in some ways is great because he'll, you know, there's an NHL, it's an NHL city and you get a lot of the pro scouting reports that he can add. But then 4.5-hour drive for him to be, you know, in the car and here in Buffalo, and he'll be here a lot. So he has been, in a very short time, a really, really big asset for me personally, for the whole organization. And, you know, my style is an absolute, you know, in terms of leadership, is collaborative, flat organization where everybody's got a voice, talk to each other, get in the room, debate, sometimes fight. and come out with what we think's the right answer for the Buffalo Sabres. And having his 30 years of knowledge is great, but you know, 11 years as a general manager is a long time and a lot of experience in a similar type city to what we have in Buffalo in terms of smaller market. And so home run. And besides that, I guess while I'm on it, just a great person, you know, treats people the right way. So many phone calls after hired Yarmo from the hockey world. Just, wow, did you get a good one? And the respect he has in the league and the credibility. And he chose us. He had a lot of offers and opportunities, and he wanted to be part of the Sabres. And I it meant a lot to me. Yeah, Galley is, you know, when I started the process of really thinking about our organization and where could we improve or elevate, you know, you're looking at every single part. And when I started going down the strength conditioning road a little bit and trying to think about, you know, what do we need to do or why, if we made a decision, his name kept coming up in the hockey world, and he was kind of known as probably the elite strength coach in the world that wasn't, you know, part of an NHL roster. And so as I started getting having conversations quickly, and we hired him quick because, yeah, he was the guy I wanted. And he's going to be a huge, huge, huge asset to our organization. He's made a big impact already in terms of the strength conditioning, his own program, what he's doing. We hired two other strength conditioning staff members that we brought in as well with Galley. So it's a huge part of the offseason. That's why I didn't want to wait around. You know, I wanted to get him in right away and get, you know, working on our players. So excited to have him.
Kevin, a couple of housekeeping issues here. I know the governor's meeting is today. What is Laura Pegula's role in the Sabres organization at this point?
Yeah, Laura has been, you know, getting more and more involved in terms of, well, she's an alternate governor. So I would say maybe it was a year or two ago, she went to her first Board of Governors meeting. I was with her, you know, get to meet all the other owners and a lot of people involved at the high level on the business side. And then since then, just been getting more and more involved with, you know, and Pete on the business side and, you know, understanding exactly the different things going on, but then also sitting in and listening in hockey meetings and, you know, scouting meetings and just taking it all in. And I think that's great. For her to be more involved. So yeah, she thinks she's in LA, is it today, whatever the day of the meeting, today or tomorrow, with Pete, and then she'll be here for the draft as well.
And the second thing, what is the status of the assistant coaches?
Yeah, I think, you know, we have an excellent coaching staff, I guess I would say, the way I look at it. Lindy is clearly someone that's done this a long time and has a lot of experience and knows exactly what he's looking for out of a coaching staff. What we've talked about, you know, he and I, is if there's someone to add to the coaching staff that he thinks would be beneficial, additive, then let's do it. And he's had a number of conversations with a lot of people. But overall, I think, you know, I've asked Lindy to just evaluate the coaching staff, give me your thoughts, and if there's, whether it's changes, we would make changes. We're still open to adding though as well, but obviously for Lindy, he's someone that has to trust the people that he's in the trenches with every day, and he clearly does.
So are they under contract for the season?
Yep, every one of our current coaching staff is, yes, under contract.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Sense of why people think that's
unusual and you're just running things back from the same unit?
Yeah, I mean, I don't worry about what people think, or I don't pay attention to noise or outside perspective. I think I've been pretty clear. I'll do whatever I believe is right to help the organization, which is something that we've backed up over the years in terms of whether it's coaching changes or, like you just mentioned, a complete new strength conditioning, adding Yarmo, adding Eric Stahl. I mean, Eric Stahl has just left a meeting that had incredible, in my mind, perspective, and, you know, the way he articulates, this is a really big addition to our staff. So, you know, and I think I just said that, like, if there's an upgrade to make in the coaching staff that Lindy or I felt was going to help our team, then we would do it. So not worried about, you know, what people may think. This is about us doing the best we can in our minds to put the best team on the ice and best staff. Yeah, I mean, he's really, to me, an important player for us. He loves Buffalo, wants to be here. That was very clear. And we believe in him and realize, you know, what he brings every night. So there's a lot going on right now in terms of, you know, the draft and just everything around this time of year. But he understands he's a priority. Yeah, it's a great question. You know, we've spent a lot of time since we hired Eric, you know, in meetings and conversations. And if he didn't play with him, he knows someone who did. And I've always believed this. It's really valuable to have someone in your hockey operations department that's pretty fresh off of playing. I mean, to have someone like Eric with the Hall of Fame career, and you've done everything you could possibly do in this game successfully, so is even better. But yeah, I mean, instantly you could ask about a player and he said, hey, you know, this is what I see, here's playing against them, this is what it was like, and it's valuable. But he's obviously, I've known Eric a long, long time, so that helps. There wasn't too much of a burn-in time for us because of how close we are, but no, he's been great.
Jerry, with the Panthers winning back the Cups, obviously they play a physical, nasty brand of hockey. Like, do you get the sense that, you know, there's a couple guys at the top of this draft, Brady Martin, Porter Martone, that kind of bring a little bit of that? Do you get that is going to be a premium maybe in this draft round? Would you get being a bit of a copycat?
Oh, for sure. There's always recency bias. You know, I think what we try to do is we try to look at our entire prospect pool. It's more about our prospect pool than it is our NHL team when we're drafting. And if there's players that are close in, you know, certain pockets of the draft, and we're maybe lacking something in our prospect pool that we think is ideal for down the road at the NHL level, we might lean one way or another. But we're not going to jump off the list or take a lesser player. Two great defensemen that I think will have long-time NHL careers. Atchison brings very much an old-school approach to the game. I could certainly see him be one of those players that might get the recency bias bump. There's very few players, you know, in junior hockey, college hockey, and Europe that play the way he plays. Very unique, and he brings some offense, especially off the heavy shot as well. Mertka, very unique package to be able to move the way he does at 6'6", almost more agile with the puck, if that's possible. A smart player at both ends. I was over in the Czech Republic early in the year when he wasn't getting a lot of playing time in the men's league over there, to see what he was willing to do to move to North America. Comes from, you know, a background where he has very little in the way of resources for hockey or anything outside of hockey. Uprooted, you know, high character kid, a huge ceiling, I think. So two guys that I would certainly expect to be, you know, in the top, you know, 3, 4, 5 defensemen off the board.
Thank you.
Don't go forward.
Yeah.
That was Sabres general manager Kevin Adams and assistant general manager Jerry Fortin down with the media at One Bills Drive, where they'll be doing their decentralized NHL draft this year. We got to take a quick timeout. When we get back, we'll play you some of what Chad DeDominicis had to say with Chopin the Bulldog yesterday afternoon. You're listening to WGR. Welcome back to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sabres general manager Kevin Adams and assistant general manager Jerry Fortin just wrapped up with the media a few minutes ago. If you want to hear that back, you can check on demand on our website, WGR550.com, to hear what they had to say about the upcoming NHL draft this Friday at 7 o'clock. We're going to take you back in time now to yesterday afternoon when Chopin Bulldog had Chad DeDominicis on to talk about some of his favorite draft prospects and some other things going on with the J.J. Paterka situation and other rumors around the Sabres as free agency approaches.
Expected Buffalo, like I'm looking at Chad's Twitter today, here are some options for the Sabres in the fifth round. Like now we're talking.
They're digging in. Yeah.
Now we are talking.
No joke over there.
No, that's serious stuff. Chad DeDominicis is with us now on the Wester Hotline. I mean, Chad, I imagine I'm just really scratching the proverbial surface here with regard to your draft coverage.
Yeah. You know, Austin does a great job. He definitely is our draft guy. Like, it's insane what he gets into. He rolls every single round. It's around round five. But like, even like when I read his seventh round one, I'm like, dude, what? Like, how do you know this much about these guys? Like, it's insane. But yeah, he does a great job. Like, you'll fully know a bunch of guys that may never play in the NHL, but after he tells you about them, you'll be like, yeah, we should definitely get that guy in the fifth round.
I love that. I mean, this is going to sound trite, but it's so great to know things. I mean, it's cool to have that kind of depth of knowledge. The thing about the hockey draft, and I don't need to tell you this, is the odds of players picked so late being, you know, any kind of NHL players, let alone good ones, you know, and somebody will always say to that, well, it happens. I mean, Zetterberg happens. You know, there are guys. Right. So I guess it's worth doing, but football is so much easier, I think, to latch onto because you have positional needs and, you know, I guess it's just going to be much better odds that in football's case, day three pick will make the league.
Yeah, and I mean, people, you know, they watch college football. I don't think anybody's watching, you know, tier two Sweden hockey to get a glimpse of somebody's kid.
Right. And age is a factor there, too. I mean, you're talking about, you know, just your kid. They're kids. They're still drafting kids, and you just don't know what's going to happen between ages 18 and 22, let alone beyond that. So there's a lot to work with there. What kind of value do you think pick nine has, Chad? We've not spent a lot of time in here pondering the idea of the Sabres trading that pick for something. I know it's been a popular sentiment year over year, and it may be peaking this year. Like, it's time to not just draft an 18-year-old and, you know, use the pick for something else. But to me, I did say last week briefly, we talked about it, I feel like it's probably a sweetener in a bigger deal, if anything, because I don't think nine is getting you a player that you're going to be excited about. Like, of an NHL player already, I mean.
Yeah, it's, you know, the thing I always go back to is if you look at history, there's, you know, it just doesn't happen. I think when I wrote my article about it the other day, I think it was in the last decade, there's been three trades. For, you know, significant, at least, roster players back. So it just doesn't happen. Mm-hmm. And the last one was like DeBrincat, the one before that was like, I don't know, like 7 years ago. So it doesn't happen, and you know, like it's hard to say, because if you'd asked me this like a month ago, I'd have been like, I don't know, probably not a ton. But we're the week of the draft, and then you're hearing all of this stuff where it's like, yeah, I mean, you know, nine could be in play, but then Utah maybe wants to move their pick at four, Nashville at five, and then, you know, the Chicago at three, and you get all that, and then like you get to pick 25 and you're like, there hasn't been a single trade. So right. it's really hard to say at this point, really what teams want to do. And it's, the thing is too, this is a, you know, I know Frondell recently is, you know, Session 32 Thoughts is getting some push for number two, but I still think that Schaefer and Misa are your top two. And then you start to kind of drift off into a different level from there. So really outside the top, like 5 to 8, maybe you make us say 5 to 10. I don't think there's, you know, a lot of high quality after that, which then can then reduce teams trying to get up to that spot and get those players at the right. class isn't that great. But then you have the James Hagan thing, the rumors with the Islanders, that seems to be real. They're trying to really get up, you know, and get him, the Long Island kid, to make it a whole story thing. And, you know, you didn't think he could drop to 9 as of like a month ago, but now you're seeing mocks where he's dropping to 9 and 10, and you're like, well, maybe it can get there. So I don't know. It's hard to say. Like, sure, could it be there? Yes. Could they use it as a piece? Absolutely, as a you know, component to make a bigger deal, but it's hard for me to get too excited about it because it just never happened.
Yeah, I mean, it's that for me too. Teams are afraid, even in football, teams are afraid to trade their first round picks. I mean, it's like, why? It's why they're there. They're, literally this year in the NFL, we got to the day of the draft and not a single first round pick had been traded yet, which, I mean, that's unusual, but I think they're afraid to do it. And of course, Chad, the Sabres are not the exact perfect idea of a team that should be looking to trade its best draft asset because they're not good enough. You know, they're not, quote, win now, but maybe they are, right? Only win means make the playoffs. I think maybe they are thinking in terms of win now with that sort of lower standard. Do you agree?
Yeah, I agree. You know, it's hard for me to – we had a fun conversation with a couple of Sabres Twitter people yesterday going around about, like, you know, for certain trades, would you take maybe a futures thing? And then it's been like, well, I would, but do they think that? And, it's, you know, it's kind of – it's really hard to understand where they are because it's – on one hand, you're like, well, Kevin Adams, this has to be the year. This is his last chance. And then you think about it, well, he's actually – you know, probably safe, to be honest, because Terry Pegula loves him and he's bringing in new guys. And it's really hard to get a sense of direction of where they want to go. I think, of course, they want to be a playoff team. And I think that's the message they have to some players. But I still think if you get an offer that makes sense, that is for quote unquote futures, maybe like a 21-year-old defenseman or something like that, I still think you consider if it's the best offer you have there, you just got to sell it properly. But I don't know. It's hard to really get a gauge, to be honest, on what they want to do. And really nothing would surprise me in terms of, you know, a type of trade that we get back. Pushing all in for a playoff team or something that involves more futures than help now.
Right. And what they think they're accomplishing and what we all out here think they're accomplishing may be different things. I'm sorry. I'm still thinking of the famous clip of Terry Pegula through the closed door in a in-house PSE produced piece talking about Taylor Hall. Like, we're a cup contender now. And like, I don't know. Did anyone out here think that they were a cup contender because they signed Taylor Hall? I didn't. I thought it was a cool thing, a cool shot to take. But it didn't, like, turn your franchise around. And certainly the results speak for themselves. But even at the time, I thought, whoa.
You're saying he made a misjudgment?
Just a slight one, yeah. So, I don't know, man. Like, what do you think, you know, what you just said, Chad, about the trading the draft pick itself sort of can be extended to the entire week here, like the business of the NHL and trades leading into the deadline or the draft or free agency. We often get this sort of buildup, like, oh, I'm telling you, it's going to be a swap meet out there, the cap, this, that, teams that are crunched and whatever. And I just feel like it almost never lives up to it. So how busy are you bracing for or expecting the bracing connotes negativity? I don't mean to cloak it that way. Do you think they'll be busy this week, the Sabres?
I think they'll get a couple of things done. I do know they want, you know, the Byram thing, I think, will be done. I would anticipate probably this weekend, but definitely by the 1st of July, because they don't want that to get to offer sheet land. That limits your possibility of making a trade. So I think they're going to make sure that's done before that can even be a possibility of done. So I think,
Chad,
Byron for sure probably happens.
Sorry, done how? Like signed or moved?
Oh, moved. No.
Okay.
Moved. Yeah, okay. I would Thanks. Be stunned if he signed. I think for sure he's moved.
Okay.
I would be shocked. And then beyond that, it's do they get a restricted free agent done? Do they pull off some other trade? I know there's a lot of Paterka stuff out there. You know, every time I check in on that, it just seems like that is not what it's made out to be in terms of a trade.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe he goes. I don't know. But I just every time I check in, the answer is nope. We're just nothing really going on. Just talking contracts. So, you know, we'll see where that goes. But I do think that they'll be active. I keep telling people my gut belief is they want to do something. I think that, I don't know if I catch attention is the word, but at least it's significant enough where it's not just like it's not a Ryan McLeod trade. It's,
Right.
Something that a few people, the people in the league talk about maybe for the day. Like, oh, Buffalo guy. I mean, maybe like the Zegras thing in a sense is kind of like something for a day we'll talk about, you know, with getting that type of player. Something that catches some league attention.
Yeah. Do you feel like any opportunity was missed there on Zegras?
I don't. I'm not a big Zegras guy. I just don't think he's a fit for what they want to do anyways. He is more of an offensively focused player. If they were going to bring him in to play wing, maybe I could listen to it, but my fear is they would try to make him a center, and I already have enough question marks, so I don't need another one.
Right.
I mean, the price was low, but, you know, I'm just I would hope they have something bigger going on than that.
Trevor Zegras traded today by Anaheim to Philadelphia. Chad DeDominicis on the Western Hotline. Yeah, I had to jump in there. I got scared with Byram.
He'll be done, right?
Like, wait a minute, what?
Right. What do you think his value is? Does he and nine, maybe I mentioned nine as a sweetener, Chad. Do you think Byram and nine get you what? A partner for Owen Power, a top six winger, or is that too rich?
No, I think there's definitely interest in him. I think there's some value there that they have to make sure that they cash in on for sure. I think teams think that he's a better player than he is. Like, someone's going to get him to be our first pair defenseman, and, you know, all the power in the world to him. I mean, you never know. Situationally, system, maybe it works out, but I'm glad the Sabres aren't going to go that route. But, yeah, I think there's value there that they should get. They should get decent assets out of it. They should get something that is a decent return people are happy about. Now, if it's like more, like I said, if it's pure hypothetical, like if you get like Wallander and the first round pick back from Vancouver, people are going to be like, what are they doing? They got a 20-year-old and a first round pick and another one. But, you know, it's, you have to have a front office that's savvy enough to go, okay, I have two first round picks. Now I can maybe use one of those to get something else. And so I think it depends on the return. But if like that, something like that comes back, I think I'd be fine with that. And really, I don't think we're going to be disappointed in a Byram deal. I think at the end of the day, they did pretty good there, knowing the player that we know him. So, yeah, I'm not really nervous about that trade.
That was Chad DeDominicis on Yesterday with Schopen Bulldog. You can find the full interview there on our website, WGR550.com. We'll be right back when we wrap things up on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. You're listening to WGR. Welcome back to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR. Going to wrap things up here for today. For Sal Capaccio, I've been Josh Schmidt. You can find more of Kevin Adams' press conference on demand on our website, and more on the Sabres coming up next with Sabres Live. You're listening to WGR.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.